When I made this episode, it was actually one giant episode that was some 40, 50 minutes long, and I ended up cutting it in half and creating a part one and part two. This is something that really hasn't been done before on the YouTube channels. A lot of people just put out big old content that goes on forever. It's kind of boring. Look, when I say this, YouTube is a vast landscape. There's a lot of content out there, so I'm sure somebody did it somewhere. I'm talking about in the amateur boat building and boat restoration niche, in the boating niche of people restoring sailboats and restoring old boats. Showing a project at the moment of completion, well, it's just not something you often see. I wanted to keep my episode short and concise. I knew there was a lot of information and it's kind of hard to digest, so everything kind of really needs to be between 15 and 20 minutes long. And in doing so, well, it creates multiple parts, multiple episodes for a given project. This was the beginning of the idea of the moment of completion. Multiple episodes building up, leading to the final episode when a project is completed. This was the first example of that. The following is a simulcast audio of my YouTube channel, Motor City Boatworks. Motor City Boatworks is my retirement amateur boat building and boat restoration studio. It's where I cover the projects in my boat shop. I'm rebuilding a 1986 Alban 27 pocket trawler and a 1982 Skipper 20 pocket sailboat. I cover the nuances, the tips and the tricks, the ups and the downs of what it's really like to be working on these old boats. I've been restoring boats for about 30 years as an amateur. Building a hardtop for your boat is an excellent winter project. Episode 12, Building a Hardtop, Part 1. Hi, I'm Joe with Motor City Boatworks. This episode, I'm going to talk about how I built the hardtop for my Alban 27 pocket trawler. The Alban 27 came from the factory with just the pilot house. It didn't come with any type of covering that extended over the cockpit of the boat. The cockpit is the area of the boat between the pilot house and the aft cabin. There's an open seating area that's exposed to the elements. When I first bought the boat, I realized that this area really needed to have some sort of covering. Typically, these boats had some sort of fabric enclosure where a stainless steel frame, like for a bimini top, is on the inside, and then it has some type of umbrella material that goes around the outside. Now, this is a perfectly reasonable solution and a great way to create an all-weather room on your boat. But over time, well, these enclosures, they get a little tattered. They don't look very good. And frankly, they don't maximize the space that someone really needs if they're going to be living long-term aboard the boat. The solution is some sort of hardtop that extends from the pilot house all the way to the aft end of the boat. But this is not a very simple project. It's actually quite involved. There's a lot of things that go into the planning and design of an effective hardtop for a boat, especially one this size. Now, I'm not the first person who decided to put a hardtop on their Alban 27 family cruiser. Lots of other people have done it. However, one of the things that I never really liked about some of those designs was the hardtop didn't look like it belonged on the boat. In some cases, it was too flat or too square or too boxy, and it just didn't look like it came from the factory. It always looked like a design afterthought. So one of the things I wanted to do was to try and design a hardtop that looked integrated to the lines of the boat. I wanted it to look like something that maybe came from the factory as an option. It needed to marry the design lines of the boat, follow the curves and the straight lines of the boat where possible. But it also needed to be practical. My hardtop design had to meet a couple criteria. First, well, it had to be reasonably easy to construct. I'm just a do-it-yourself kind of guy. Second, it had to be reasonably cost-effective. It doesn't make much sense to put a several thousand dollar hardtop on a several thousand dollar boat. Third, it's gotta be the right weight. You don't wanna be putting a lot of heavy mass up high on a boat this size. It can really affect the handling and cause some problems down the road. So the weight's gotta be within reason as the hardtop's being constructed. Also, I wanted to be able to walk on top of my hardtop, which means it's gotta be fairly rigid and it's gotta be attached to the boat in such a way that it's never gonna be a problem. Now, I wanted the hardtop to have no frame on its underside. I didn't want anything that would reduce the standing headroom inside the cockpit. If you have a frame with ribs or any type of cross members on the inside of the hardtop, well then you're reducing your overall headroom. The last criteria, and probably the most important to me, was that it's gotta look good. It's gotta look like it belongs on the boat and that somebody didn't just slap a piece of plywood on there and call it a day. This meant that as a designer, I really had to pay attention to some of the details of what makes the pilot house on the boat even look good by itself. A lot of that has to do with the gentle curve of the pilot house top, both on the forward edge, the eyebrow that they call it, or on the sides. Well, those curves needed to be extended aft, all the way around the hardtop, 360 degrees. Also, I really needed to think about, well, what was the angle of the hardtop? Was it gonna be level to the gunwale of the boat, the rub rail, or really should it be sloping aft to kind of give the boat a little more of an aerodynamic look? Now, the first thing you realize when you start doing a project like this is that the area that covers the cockpit of the boat is actually quite large. This is not just one 4x8 sheet of material. The area of the hardtop is actually something like 96 inches by another 92 inches. And what that means is that it's not as simple as using a single sheet of 4x8 material. You actually need two pieces of 4x8 material, and they've got to be joined together because they're going to be going laterally across the boat. I debated building my hardtop out of a variety of materials. I looked at marine plywood. I looked at various sorts of foam impregnated with epoxy. I looked at a variety of composite materials. And in the end, for a cost-effective, simple way to build a hardtop that still looked like it was design appropriate, I decided to use Kusa board as my hardtop material. Because Kusa board is rigid, especially once it has fiberglass laid over it, there's no need for an internal frame. For this project, marine plywood was just gonna be too heavy. We don't want that kind of weight put up high on a boat this size. Now, in my other videos, I've talked about using Kusa board, what it's like, what are the advantages of using this material, and why I consistently choose it for my boat building. If you're interested, check out the episode where I talk about repairing the rotted portholes on the boat, where I talk specifically about Kusa board. Or I have another video where I talk about building a pilot house for a 16-foot sailboat. Even though I wanted the hardtop to have no frame, that didn't mean that I couldn't use a frame in its construction. On the Alban 27 family cruiser, the aft end of the pilot house has a piece of teak trim, and that teak trim matches the camber of the pilot house top perfectly. I was able to use that piece of teak trim to create a series of patterns for ribs that went inside a wooden frame. Now, the wooden frame was constructed of scrap pieces of 1x1 wood. I just kind of nail gunned them together. And then I took the panels of Kusa board and I laid it across the frame and then screwed it down, especially the edges. And that's what created the camber of the top of the hardtop. To join the two 4x8 panels of Kusa board, I used the staple and glue method. The staple and glue method is where you put epoxy on the edges of two pieces of Kusa board. You put them together and then use a staple gun to staple along the joint. Just like a suture, that's what holds it together while everything cures up. One thing to remember is that the width of the hardtop, about amidships where the pilot house ends, is not the same as the width of the hardtop at the aft end of the boat. Of course, the boat is not square. It tapers at the bow and at the stern of the boat. So therefore, the hardtop also had to taper. The rib at the aft end of the hardtop frame was actually 2 to 3 inches narrower than the rib at the forward end of the hardtop. I dry fitted the wood frame on top of the boat. I held it in place by using some jack stands on the back of the boat. By using jack stands to raise and lower the end of the hardtop, I was able to get a nice angle which went from the pilot house all the way to the aft end of the boat. And I could experiment with different heights to see what looked good to my eye. It turns out that a gentle slope from the pilot house to the aft end of the boat of about 1 to 1.5 inches is just enough to make the hardtop not look too square or too boxy on the back of the boat. Dry fitting the hardtop while it was still on the frame in place on top of the boat allowed me to get an idea of where would the hardtop overhang. Would it cover all the cockpit seats and the back of the boat? I wanted to be sure that the hardtop would cover the entire cockpit so that if it rained, water wouldn't drip down while you were leaning against the seat. I often get asked the question, how do you get this curve on the edge of the hardtop to go all the way around the boat? Along the edges of the hardtop, while it was screwed to the frame, I went ahead and I cut some kerfs lengthwise along the leading edges. Kerfs are shallow cuts that you can make into a material so that you may ultimately bend it around a radius. By bending the edges of the hardtop and opening up the kerfs, I was able to create the gentle curve that matched the pilot house edge. With the edges of the hardtop screwed down and the camber created, I then took epoxy paste and put it into the kerfs. At this stage, it didn't matter that everything looked kind of like a Frankenstein operation. That's not an issue. Remember, Kusa board cleans up very, very nice. When you lay a final layer of fiberglass or you do any sort of filling in of any damaged spots or anything like that. Kusa board is very forgiving and it's very easy to sculpt with woodworking tools. I was able to use a palm sander and a grinder to put nice beveled edges on all the corners and all of the leading edges. Wow, we have covered a lot of ground. That's a lot of information in a short period of time. And it seems like this is a good place to stop this episode. Join me next episode when I talk about how I designed and built the supports for the aft end of the hardtop. And I'll talk about finishing the hardtop and the ultimate results. This episode, we have a question from Miss Amala Diamini from Los Angeles, California. And Miss Diamini would like to know, hey, whatever became of the Oktoberfest Octopus Challenge? What did you decide to call the octopus? This is a great question. I want to thank you for your participation in the Oktoberfest Octopus Challenge. Thanks to your input, I've decided to name the octopus Spectre.
Just like the James Bond multi-legged Hydra.
I think you'll agree, having a shop puss is a lot better than some whiny little cat.
If you like these videos, please hit the subscribe button. These videos would not be possible without your support.
For more information, please visit the Motor City Boatworks YouTube channel or my website, MotorCityBoatWorks.com. Boatworks is spelled B-O-A-T-W-E-R-K-S.